Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Stringer.
God never ceases to amaze me. Never, ever ceases to amaze me. You always think, sometimes you just think you've sort of reached a point, and can it get better? And it does. 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 Can it get better and better and better and better? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. How can it? How can it? Sometimes think, oh, I'm limited in what I can do. Limited in where I am in my walk with God, because this is wrong, that's wrong, the other's wrong. God has got a very simple secret, and it's called seeking Him. Seeking Him, you know? So when you turn to Psalm 63, if you would, please. Who is hungry for God in this place? Yes. Who is really, really hungry? I mean, so hungry, your stomach, in a sense, is touching your backbone. Are you that hungry for God? Does anybody know what it's like? Yes, a lot of you will, I know. It's a silly question you'll ask me. You'll tell me. I know there will be those of you here who have prayed and fasted for periods of time. And although there is a tremendous grace when you're fasting, you still feel hungry. Yeah? But if you were to not eat or drink for 3 days, there's a very high probability you would die. I would guess. Is that right, Nigel? Pretty close on. You could drink for a long time and not eat anything, but hunger pangs hurt, don't they? It gets really uncomfortable in your stomach. Yeah? That's what God is wanting to do in us. We're seeing the start of a move of God in this church. I'm bringing something really, perhaps in a more fuller way than I did on Thursday night. If we want to allow Pastor Paul to carry what God is bringing in this church and be spectators, we shall lose it. It won't continue. It won't grow. God wants to grow what he's doing here. That's why it's good in some ways that he's not here this Sunday. I've already sort of shared this with him. And he says it's good he's not here this Sunday too, though he'd like to be. We need to be a hungry people. Now, it's something you can't make yourself be. It's a choice. It's a mindset thing of where am I, Lord, in my walk with you, that I'm satisfied with where I am. I am not satisfied with where I am. Is anybody here satisfied with where they are? If you are, you need to repent. I mean that. You need to repent. So do I, if I'm satisfied with where I am in God. Because there is so much more. And it's not just for me and just four walls of this building. Scarborough needs to be touched by this move of God. You know? And we know that. We hear it week by week. The Lord keeps reminding us. The worship is wonderful. The anointing is fantastic. But it isn't just for me or for you. It's for the people outside. How many people went out with you this morning, Eileen? Just you and the students. You see, if we were hungry, there wouldn't be anybody in here at about 10 to 11. You'd be out in the street with Eileen. Challenge, isn't it? Yeah. That's the reality. That's the honest truth. Okay, the worship band are setting up, so perhaps they've got an excuse. But for the rest of us, or most of us, there's no reason we shouldn't be actually out there with these invites. None at all. Unless you're going down to Costa Coffee or Roasters or wherever some of you go. I've noticed. I was only jealous because I didn't get one. I'm joking. Let's have a look at this psalm, Psalm 63. This is David, okay? This is Old Covenant. The man was anointed king. He knew the anointing of the Spirit of God on his life, but not in it. And that was all they ever could have in the Old Covenant, was the anointing on their life. You know? Moses, David, you name them. The whole of the Old Testament's full of them. They didn't have what we have of the fullness of God dwelling in me and me in him. They didn't have that. Yet he could write these words, "Oh God, you are my God." That's awesome. You know, that's awesome, isn't it? That he could do that. You can read this any number of ways, actually. I've got the New King James here for those of you who are reading it from another version. "Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God." You know? That's awesome. That in itself. It's just David's heart. "Early will I seek you." Now, early will I seek you. Oh dear. Does anybody struggle with early mornings here, really? Let's be honest. Come on. This is family. Do we all struggle a bit with early mornings? Yeah, of course we do. Why did David seek God early? Because he knew that if he didn't seek him then, he probably wouldn't seek him at all. And I guess that's the same for all of us, isn't it? If we don't cause our flesh to die, and it needs to constantly, then we don't seek God. I'm usually totally honest with you guys when, you know, when I'm preaching and stuff, and people who've been in the previous church will know that too. On my day off, I lie in a bit longer. That's fine. God doesn't mind. But quite often, on my day off, I don't spend the time with the Lord that I would when it isn't a day off. Now, that's being honest with you. Anybody else in that sort of boat? When we go on holiday, we sort of slack off a bit. Go to faith camp, we slack off. Oh, don't need to. It's all here. Now, the point I'm coming to is this. David wrote this, as we'll see. He was in a wilderness situation. He was actually trying to get away, I think, from Absalom at the time. Absalom, his son, was out to kill him. He was trying to keep away from him. So he wrote this without anything. He had nothing. I mean, if you live in a wilderness, there isn't much, really. Sand, more sand. Camels, few Arabs. A few more Arabs, a few more camels, more sand. And some palm trees, maybe an oasis now and again. It says, "My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Now, we could have said that of this nation at one time, that it was a dry and thirsty place where there is no water. But I really believe that what we're seeing here, what we're hearing all across the nation, what we're seeing in Florida and what's coming over from there, God is pouring rain on this land. Rain is coming. It's spots. It's just little spots, but it is coming. How hungry are you for the rain? Obviously you're not, because nobody's responded. Is anybody hungry for the rain in here? Yes? Let's try that again. Is anybody really hungry for the rain in this nation? Yes. Well, still not all convinced. All right, maybe it will be by the end. See, the thing is, when we have... Oh, I've got to sing to that, have I? Okay. Bless them, Lord.
Yes.
It's good, actually, isn't it? The thing is, when everything happens for us and around us, we're in a good church, we've got, you know, excellent leadership, very anointed, we know the anointing and the presence of God, it is so easy not to seek God. It's to say, oh, it's okay, I'll go to God encounter on Thursday. So, for some reason, you don't get to God encounter. And you're still perhaps not spending very much time with the Lord at all. Now, why do I major on this thing of spending time with God? You could almost say, well, that's a bit legalistic. If you love somebody, you want to be with them, don't you? I love being with Claire. I don't always make a very good job of it because sometimes people phone up or I forget I've made an arrangement to see somebody or something like that. So we try and guard Monday as a day off, that we don't do anything other than just something for us. That sounds selfish. No, it isn't, actually. We need it. But you see, if you weren't in this church, or if you weren't in another church in the town maybe, where there wasn't good fellowship, where there wasn't the move of God, where there wasn't the anointing of the Spirit, you would just quickly end up on the floor spiritually if you spent no time with the Lord. That is the prime thing any of us have when we come to the Lord. He brings us to Him for relationship. You know? It's not even the wonderful worship. It's not even healing. It's not even deliverance. He brings us because He wants our fellowship. He wants us to walk with Him. And that's it. It's as simple as that in its simplicity. When I'm in my lounge, I don't get as excited as I do in here. Perhaps some of you do get excited in your lounge, you know, as excited as you do here. I'm just perhaps a bit more reserved than that, and God is breaking the reserve off, bit by bit by bit. Okay, let's move on. Look at David. David is seeking God. Early will I seek you. This is a continuous tense thing he's saying here. It's not, I sought you early yesterday, or I will seek you early. He's saying, early will I seek you. In other words, every day I'm going to seek you early. You're going to be my priority. First thing in the morning, Lord, I'm going to seek you. Now, why am I bringing all this out this morning? I want desperately to know God.
Yes.
I desperately, desperately, desperately want to know God. This August the 17th, I'll have been a Christian 40 years. And I think I barely know God. I really do. Because He's just so vast. You know, you step into God, don't you? And you're just lost, in a sense, with the vastness of who He is. Why am I saying all this about early and seeking and hunger? Because we want this to increase, what God is doing here. We need this to increase. There is no hope for us. There is no hope for Scarborough. There is no hope for the nation if what God is beginning to do worldwide isn't accompanied by His people seeking after Him and rearranging their lives to do it. You know, I'm finding now there were sort of certain things on the TV I like to used to watch. can't think of one now. Poirot. I like to watch that. Morse. Those sorts of things. You know, we both quite enjoy those. And sometimes we will. But we've got a bit hooked into this Florida thing that's going on out in America. Not because of what it is, but because of what God is doing and some of the awesome things that are happening there. We saw a lad last night with spina bifida walk, and he'd never walked normally before at all. And he walked. And as he was lying on the floor under the power of God, he could feel muscle reforming in his legs. Now, I didn't watch the end because they cut you off before the end. I mean, that is awesome. That is happening all the time, that sort of thing. Miracles are being done. And that's being poured out. You know, Pastor Les from Kingdom Faith London has been out there. And he has said it is awesome. Absolutely awesome. So it's sort of endorsed, if you like. So what does that mean? Then we're all going to fly off to Florida. That would be nice. That'd be nice. These guys have just had a great holiday in Mallorca. But Florida might be a bit expensive. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means what God is doing there, he can do here. He's the same God. If we are really seriously hungry to go after God with everything we've got, to put aside all our own personal preferences, and that's what it'll cost us. I mean, I like to sit on my sofa and put my feet up and watch a bit of telly, don't I? Claire doesn't particularly. She'd rather read a book or do something else, wouldn't you? But that's, you know, that's how we are. That's how some of us are wired, isn't it? We're a bit like that. But God is just saying to me and putting in me at the moment a real sense of dissatisfaction of doing that sort of thing. You know, when we put the telly on now, usually it is to see what God is doing in Florida. Because there are English people, Scottish people, all nations of the world are represented there, as you know, those of you who watched it. If you haven't, watch it once or twice and just see what God does to you. Okay, so what happened with David? What was David's alternative? That's not the right word I want. What did he do? That's better. I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. David knew how to find the presence of God. He knew how to find the presence of God. Do you and I know how to find the presence of God? Will we hang in there until we know we're in the presence of God? I know faith takes us into the presence of God, but it's sometimes good to actually feel that we're there too. Yeah? When you know the anointing, like this morning, it's just an awesome anointing in this place. Awesome anointing in this place. When we enter the presence of God, what do we see? The power and the glory. Where is it? All around the throne. Where is it being released in this place? Those of you who have been healed this morning, how many of you got healed this morning that came forward? Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Some of you, obviously not quite there yet. You need another dose. David was consumed with God. For all his faults, for all his mistakes, God prospered him. God anointed him, kept his anointing on him. I want that. You know, for all the mistakes I make, I want to know I'm walking in the anointing of God. I'm looking in the sanctuary. Where's the sanctuary? Presence of God. I come in with boldness. You come in with boldness. I know this is simple this morning, but this, I really believe, is the key to what God will do to accelerate what is going on here. If we will allow him to reorganize our lives and the way we live. You know, he knows what we like, and he knows what we like that we don't actually need. It doesn't mean God is going to rob us of everything that we enjoy doing. Not at all. He's not a spoil sport. In fact, quite the reverse. We're probably more spoil sports than he is. He wants us to enjoy life. You know, I've come that you might have fullness of life, Jesus said, didn't he? Not fullness of telly or fullness of golf. I mean, all those things in moderation. They're all part of the package of God wanting us to enjoy ourselves. He loves us to have family time, barbecues, and that sort of stuff, you know. Friendship. Okay, move on. Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. This man's in the middle of a desert. No water or very little. His flesh is complaining, but he's hungry for God. Your loving kindness is better than life. When you get in the presence of God, everything else puts itself into its right place, doesn't it? You know, however pressurized you are, however ill you can feel sometimes, however bad circumstances can be, when we get in the presence of God, all that stuff falls into place. And in the presence of God is where we start to deal with it. Because we know there we have authority. We know we have it out of his presence too, but we have authority with certainty in it. You know, it's sometimes a struggle to deal with issues when you're not really in that right place, isn't it? Stuff comes on you, and you think you sort of rebuke it, and it doesn't go away, because the enemy knows very well you're not in the right place. We've got an enemy who does know that sort of thing. So we can't take for granted that everything will just go boom, boom, boom. It will, if we're in the right place with God. My lips shall praise you. Anybody find praising difficult? Don't put a hand up. I don't want to embarrass you. When you're in a bad place, it's difficult. When you're in a dry place, it's difficult. When everything inside is sort of, ugh, the last thing you want to do is praise God, isn't it? You just want to curl up, get under the duvet, or whatever you do when you're feeling like that. God is really your last thought, and praising him is probably pretty definitely your last thought. But David was a man who pushed through. My lips shall praise you. Bless you. Be very blessed. Rebuke hay fever, if that's what it is, in Jesus' name. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. You know, it costs. It costs. If we want to see God move here, it's going to cost us, church. Sorry to tell you that, but it is. It will. It'll cost us in tiredness. I don't know about you, but we've found ourselves get really, really tired over these last weeks. I know some of you guys have because you've said so. But that is our flesh, because God is stretching us out. We had a word in the 9 o'clock, Tuesday was it, Chris, or Thursday, I can't remember now, about being stretched out, wasn't it? You know, Isaiah 54, do you want to go to it while you're there? And it's with me. Find Isaiah. Now, where is it? Yeah, this is it. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Who's in for some stretching? Yeah, not so many hands that time. Not so many hands that time. If we're serious, if we really want God, if we're really hungry for God, the stretching will be part and parcel of it. There is no way we can move forwards unless we let God stretch us spiritually. I don't want a mediocre Christian walk. It has to be all or nothing. You know, when we're in an in-between stage, life is atrocious, actually. It's appalling, because things don't actually work right, because we're neither one thing or the other. We're sort of trying to walk along a tightrope, and it doesn't work. You usually end up falling off on the wrong side, not the right side. That's my experience. God wants to stretch us out. God wants to stretch us in a way that is going to touch other people too, because in the stretching, it's going to embrace others. It's going to encompass others. Others are going to be drawn in as we are stretched out. It's not just going to be four walls of this building and, yes, it's nearly full now, we need to meet somewhere else. Okay. I will lift up my hands in your name as a declaration that my God is bigger than I am. Your God is bigger than you. Yes? Yes, yes. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Why? Because he's been in the presence of God seeking him. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I'd love to have met this guy. I'd love to have met him. Because he was, I don't know, what is he, about 5'10" or something? Ruddy in complexion, it said. You remember when Samuel went and found him to anoint him king? There he was out tending the sheep. A king who was a shepherd. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. How many people have trouble sleeping here? Put your hand up. A few of you do. Okay. Father, I just want to ask you to break this curse of not being able to sleep in Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name now, and we release your godly sleep and rest to these people's lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, you say in your word, he gives his beloved rest. And we speak that over these people in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. But when you are not able to sleep, do you have those times you wake up sometimes and God is just speaking to you? There's stuff going round and round in your mind. You're thinking, gosh, what's this, Lord? I just want to go to sleep. Now, that's where I'm at, okay? Yeah. I'm being honest with you. That's me. I mean, oh no. I sort of turn over and pull the duvet up and get underneath again, and God's probably trying to speak to me. I remember many years ago somebody saying, and perhaps some of you do this, that the Lord might wake you up. There probably are some of you, the Lord wakes up in the night. You keep a notebook and a pencil by the bed. So when he wakes you up, you're probably not even aware you're really awake. You just write down what he says and you read it in the morning when you do wake up fully. Now, I've spoken to people who that happens to. So God can obviously do that. If anybody's up for some of that, of lying awake in the night watches, meditating. Now, meditate is an interesting word. Some of you will know what it means. It's now let me read this to you. It's the Hebrew word Hagar, okay? It means to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound such as sighing, to meditate or contemplate something as one repeats the words. It's unlike the English word meditation. It's not just thinking about something, it's actually doing something with what you have. I.e., we often do this, don't we? We speak when we're praying, we speak phrases of scripture or the word over and over. And that's what this means, to meditate. He's muttering the word of God. He's muttering what God has said to him. And as we do it, it actually builds our spirit. Yeah? Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I'll rejoice. Where is the place of safety? In the presence of God. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place. Somebody over there has got an Amplified Bible, I believe. I saw one earlier. Could I borrow it a sec, please? Thank you. See, it wasn't a word of knowledge. Haven't quite got to that yet. Just want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. We'll get there in a minute. Verse 1 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Isn't that an awesome promise? Whose power no foe can withstand. If we will live in the presence of God, if we will live there, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. It's a safe place. You know, it's like the strong tower that we're talking about here. Thanks, Gwen. Running, the righteous run into it and they're safe. You know, the strong tower, who's that? Jesus, isn't it? He's our strong tower. You know, when Jane Urquhart was speaking that a few weeks back now, a very powerful word she brought was, whose strong tower are you? Do you remember that? David was a strong tower for his nation. He was the one who allowed or disallowed the presence of God, in a sense, in the nation. If he was backslidden, then the nation would go with him. In the church, in this nation, because the church is so backslidden, the nation is backslidden. But God in these days is reviving and changing. We're seeing change. At last, we're seeing change. I mean, I've said I've been a Christian nearly 40 years. I remember a prophecy that was given in, my gosh, Guildford Cathedral, I think, in about 1972 by Jean Darnell. Some of you will remember Jean Darnell, probably. Those of you as old as me, or older. And the interpretation of this word that came through was, I have not forgotten this nation. I've not forgotten this nation. You remember it, Chris? Yeah. God spoke that then, and we're just beginning to see the fruit of that now. Just beginning. Why? Because intercessors and people like you guys have gotten their knees before God, and you've cried out and fasted and prayed and sought God and not let him go. What did Jacob say? I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's the heart that seeks God for everything in it. I will not let you go till you bless me. And what was the result of that? God had to put his hip out of joint to make him let go. That must have been an amazing experience. I mean, if anybody's ever experienced a hip come out of socket, must be incredibly painful. But what happened then? Joseph saw the ladder, Jacob saw the ladder, didn't he? Going up from heaven to earth. That accomplished an open heaven for him. What God is saying, if you will seek me, you will find me. And you will find and walk under an open heaven. And like he saw, angels ascending and descending. So we will see the anointing ascending and descending. Down to the earth, back up to heaven again. What was that? A picture of the kingdom of God invading the earth through him. And that's what God is wanting to do with us, is to invade the earth through his kingdom in us, you and me. But it'll cost. It'll take time. It'll take seeking. Spending time with God. Now that sometimes people think, oh, spending time with God, you know. And my flesh says that. Anybody else's flesh say that? Yeah? Yeah, that's right. But boy, isn't it worth it when you break through that bit. It's worth it, isn't it? So I want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to wind up. I want to encourage you. God is looking for a hungry people. A really, really hungry people. Verse 8 here, David says this. My soul follows close behind you. And I just had like a picture of somebody so close to the Lord that even a hair couldn't get down between the two of them. That close. I mean, we are that close because we're the body of Christ. He is the head. We're all the members of the body. So we're not detached, are we? So in that sense, we're following close behind. But yet, mentally and emotionally, in our spirit, God can be out there somewhere and we're just sort of lagging back here. No, I don't want that, Lord. It's too much. It's too costly. Jesus emptied himself of everything he was. He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped at, it says in Philippians 2, I think. But he emptied himself. You know, he laid aside everything he was, except his deity, and came down here. And what God is wanting us to do, why did he do that? So that we would do the same thing. To lay aside everything that you are, everything you think you are, everything in our mind we think we are, which actually is pride, except to who we are in Christ. That is all we have. That's all we stand in. That I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. I stand in that because I've actually got nothing else to stand in. Nothing else clothes and covers me but the righteousness of Jesus. Nothing else clothes and covers you but the righteousness of Jesus. That's why we can seek, we can be hungry, and we can find when we seek. What did Jesus say in John 6? Let's just go there. I'm going to wind up in a bit. John 6:35. I am the bread of heaven. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. And I thought about that and I thought, well, Lord, why do I get hungry? And he said, because you don't always walk with me. You know, we get hungry because we don't always walk with God. Jesus said, you'll never hunger. When I'm walking with God, I'm not hungry. I'm totally satisfied. I'm topped up. I'm overflowing. But the times I don't walk, I get hungry. And I go down. That's what we call going down. That's really what that is. If you're down this morning, then it's because you're not walking with God. And what God will say to you is, seek me. Spend some time with me. Seek out somebody. If you need help, seek somebody out. Come and see us. Come and speak to Peter or Anne or Claire or myself. People on the pastoral team. Some of them are missing. Christine here. I don't know who else is here on the pastoral team. Can't see anybody else. Jim and Pat are away. Come and seek us out. But don't seek just us out. Seek other people in the body of Christ out. Don't be hungry and lose it all in the sense of not bothered. Okay, God is wanting us to create an environment where people are drawn in by the hunger for him that we have. He's wanting that to happen. He's longing for that to happen. It's starting here. It's starting here. It's time to move on. You know, Pastor Paul is actually waiting on us to move with him. That's why what we're hearing is very similar at the moment, because God is waiting for us to catch up with where he is. We need to get hungry like he's hungry. We need to go after God like he goes after God. I'm using him as an example because Paul actually said in here, not Pastor Paul, but Paul the Apostle said, imitate me. So we can imitate our leaders. We're told to imitate our leaders. Let's follow hard after. Let's press in where he and Kate are pressing in. Let's press in with them. Let's follow close behind. Let's not get stuck out on the sidelines somewhere on the sand where it's dry and thirsty and barren. I want to be right in the flow of where God is and walk in that. And I believe most of you guys do too. I say most because some of you, I don't believe, do. You are happy where you are. And that's not a good place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. So be careful. Okay? Living like that is where the enemy will come and pick you off. And that's where, if you like, the pastoral cases end up with people who can't really be bothered, is putting it bluntly. You know, it takes effort. Not striving, but it takes effort. Our flesh has to die. My flesh is dying. The older I get, the more difficult it seems to come for it to die. But it is dying. I'm camping this year at Faith Camp. I mean, my, talk about dying something. That is going to be dying, isn't it? She won. Right, so I want to read that, Psalm 63 again, just before we close up. Where do Psalms come? Here we go. Are you more hungry now than you were? Somebody is anyway, that's great. I'm encouraged by that one. Whoever you are, bless you. God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. That's awesome, isn't it? God carries you and me if we will walk and seek after him. There's no more struggling and striving in that sense then. All of it just falls away. God actually makes it easy and enjoyable. But if it's hard work this morning and it's not enjoyable, start praying, start seeking. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to do it. You've got to find God yourself. I can't find him for you. Neither can Pastor Paul. We can pray for you. But at the end of the day, it's down to you. Your relationship with God is down to you, not to the pastor or the pastoral team or anybody else. Okay. Right. We better have the worship band up. I realise I haven't taken the offering up. And I'll be in trouble if we don't do that. Do you know what you're doing? King Glory, that's fine. If you just go through it once and repeat the chorus, that's fine. I'm going to pray when we finish this song. I'll pray when we finish this song. I've lost this one now. You got me back. That's it. We'll just have a prayer because I do want to pray for you. And I believe God wants to release something by way of a hunger, a new hunger for you here. I'm not going to lay hands on you and pray for you. We're going to pray corporately this morning. We're going to reach out to God together. If you really, really want this hunger, if you're really willing to go for the cost of the hunger, but you're going to find God in an awesome way. And so are we together. It's going to touch this town and touch this nation. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.